This morning, no Emily. Didn't see Emily.
Taking a break.
Taking a break. Okay. Yeah, Emily got back from India, so when he's back in the church, we will have him give us a quick update of how that trip went. I've heard some good things, huh?
Major jet lag.
Yeah, major jet lag for sure, and. Yeah, you're literally, when you're in Northeast India, you are on the other side of the globe. You can't get any farther away from Grand Junction when you're there. A couple quick announcements. We got a Israel trip planned for December 2019. The dates look like it's going to be December 2nd through the 12th. So that is a year and a half from now. And if you are interested, there is a sheet. Both sheets that we put out are filled up, but you can just write on the back or just keep writing down the bottom. I think there's 40-something signed up. And we'll have more information shortly on the cost and the itinerary and everything else. We're doing a side trip to Jordan halfway through this trip, so it should be a great time going to Petra, Mount Nebo. That's where Moses was taken by the Lord on Mount Nebo, and he's able to see all of the promised land. He couldn't go into the promised land, but he could see it from there. And so we're going to go up on top of Mount Nebo, then down to Petra. It should be an awesome time up in Caesarea Philippi to the north, and then throughout Dead Sea area, Qumran, Masada, and Gedi, and then you go into Jerusalem for 4 days. And so all kinds of great things, Caesarea Maritima, just a wonderful trip. So if you are interested, please sign up. And again, more information should be next week. And then speaking of next weekend, we are going to have special music, worship with, it's Calvary Chapel Nederland. They have a worship band, and then they also have a choir that's been part of their church for, I don't know, 30 years or so. And looking forward to having them. They're going to lead us in worship, and then right after the church service, about 11:15 or so, we'll finish at 11, by 11, then by 11:15, they're going to do a concert for about 40, 45 minutes. And so you're all welcome to stay, bring your kids back in if they want to be here for that. It should be a wonderful time. They're also known as Revelation 19. And so I'm looking forward to Calvary Chapel Nederland's worship team, and then the choir will join them also. So it should be fun. And then 2 weeks from today, July 15th, we're doing our church baptism out at Highline Lake. And if anybody is interested in being baptized, we've got 7 or 8 people right now that are lined up to get baptized. And it's going to be at Highline Lake next in 2 weeks. Sunday after church, we'll go out there and it'll be a barbecue and picnic. If you have an e-bulletin, the information's in there. Next week, we'll have our printed bulletins ready to go. But it should be an awesome time. We'll do a barbecue, games with the kids. You can swim and all that, and then I get to hold people underwater till the bubbles stop, and that's always fun. No, I don't do that, but unless they're really bad and need it, but we want that old man to die, so that's one way to look at it. This Thursday, 6:30 here in the sanctuary is the women's prayer meeting, so 6:30 this coming Thursday, July 5th, so all the ladies, you're invited to that. Anything else? That's about it? Okay. I'm looking at my better half for more information. So let's open up in a word of prayer, and we will continue our study as we go through 1 Peter. We are entering into dangerous territory, talking about marriage, husband and wife relationships. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word that is living, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, we thank you that we can come before you with open hearts and open Bibles and know that your Holy Spirit will bring your word to life within each one of our hearts, because your word is living and it is powerful. And may it pierce our hearts with truth, with love, with understanding. We pray, Father, that we would grow in our relationship with you as we spend time in your word. And Lord, even in this important topic of marriage, I know there's people going through difficulties in their marriage. Some are between marriages. Some are newly married. Some have been married for many years. And so may we have ears to hear what you're saying to each one of us individually. Because whether we're married or not, Lord, these same principles apply to all of our lives as we look to you as the head over our lives, over our church, over our marriages. You are the head over all things, and we praise you and thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. Again, the theme of 1 Peter is suffering. Peter has been writing to a displaced group of people that have been scattered all over the Roman Empire. Primarily, the group he's writing to is in present-day Turkey. And he mentions suffering 16 times in 1 Peter. They were going through difficult times in their faith, and that's why they were suffering. And so as we come into chapter 3, we're at the midpoint of this letter, we're at the heart of this letter, and it's interesting that here when he talks about suffering, he talks about marriage. Coinkydink? I don't think so. As someone once said, marriage is like a three-ring circus. You got your engagement ring, then you got your wedding ring, then there's the suffering. So, I got more, so you don't worry about it. Abraham Lincoln said this, not good theology, but it is funny. Marriage is neither heaven nor hell, simply purgatory. Another one said, there's only two things necessary to keep one's wife happy. Number one, let her think she's having her way. Number two, let her have her way. I like this. This is from an old Greek saying, marry someone in haste and repent at your leisure. Here's a good one. This is a Chinese proverb. Married couples who love each other can tell each other 1,000 things without talking. Man, that's good. I mean, that's so true. The more you spend time together, the more you pick up on all that body language and so forth. Here's another one. The most difficult year of marriage is the one you're in. And Billy Graham's wife, Ruth Bell Graham, once said, marriage is so daily. And that is so true. But as we'll see, when difficulties come our way, as they're coming to the believers here that Peter is writing to, there can be a tendency for married couples to either stand together in those difficult days, or a tendency also is for married couples to go at each other's throat, and bitterness can arise. Because when trials come, hardships hit us, and they inevitably will, it can either have a bonding and building effect upon our lives and our marriages, or it can cause people to become bitter. It can affect people in a negative way. And so it makes perfect sense that Peter would talk about marriage at this point in the letter that deals with trials, that deals with struggles and suffering, because it does. It attacks marriages and families. Now, I don't claim to be an expert on marriage, but what I do know is that the standards for marriage are always the same. The best place to go to is God's Word. Unfortunately, too many people go to Hollywood, and they look at Hollywood for an example of marriage. And Hollywood is just fleshly. Hollywood cares about the externals. It's just about finding things from a worldly perspective. You can look at magazines, movies, TV programs. It's all about the externals. But what we need to do instead of Hollywood is hold fast to God's holy word. That's the important thing. And God's word makes it very simple, as we will see. These things should not be the main focus of Christians. What we look like, what we wear, how we appear to others. Our focus should always be on the internals and the eternals, the things of the heart, the things that are going to last forever. We should focus on Christ. We should set our minds on things above where Christ is seated. Our focus should always be in allowing the Holy Spirit to change our hearts and renew our minds. And our focus should be on developing a closer relationship with Jesus Christ, who is the source of everything we truly need, like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus is truly the answer to all of our problems. He is the solution to all of our questions. And where Jesus is honored in the home, where he is worshipped in the home, where he is obeyed in the home by both the husband and the wife, then there will truly be a marriage that is in harmony, that is blessed, that is full of grace and forgiveness and love and strength. But on the other hand, the home where Jesus Christ is not honored, not worshiped, not obeyed, where people do their own things, they're not following the Lord, that's the home that's full of strife and selfishness and pain and sorrow. But today, and Lord willing, next week, if I survive what I'm teaching today, we'll look at the God-given responsibilities of both the husband and the wife. And the reason this is so important is God has called us as married partners to be one. One with each other, one with the Lord. And each partner has a complementary position in the marriage that must be fulfilled if there's truly going to be harmony. It's only as you understand and accept and fulfill your roles and responsibilities in the marriage that you will experience these divine blessings that God has for us. You'll discover peace and companionship that both of you desire. And as we saw in the last half of chapter 2, and as we see in this part of chapter 3, one of the major functions, one of the major keys for experiencing peace and harmony, whether you're married or single, is the word submission. The last 15 verses of chapter 2 deal with submission. We're to be in submission to the governing authorities. We're to be submission to one another, it says. We're ultimately, primarily, to be in submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is, as the last verse of chapter 2 says, the shepherd, overseer of our souls. And so in the context of marriage, this takes on an even more personal and significant meaning. We need Jesus as the head over our marriages. So let's read from verse 1 of chapter 3, 1 Peter. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some... Oh, man, people are already getting into this. You like that part, huh? Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward. You know, it's good if needed, but not merely outward. Arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be, this is the most important thing, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty. In other words, the outward becomes corruptible. The incorruptible is inside, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. So notice 6 verses for the wife, 1 for the husband. Wives are like, yeah, my knuckleheaded husband can only handle 1 verse. And I'll leave it at that. Anyway, here Peter gives us very simple, yet very practical, yet extremely important advice as far as husband and wife relationships are concerned. Many of you are familiar with Chuck Swindoll, and this is one of the sayings that is so true. He was right on the money when he said this about marriage. What we lack is not knowledge, but it's doing. And this is in the context of marriage. What we lack is not knowledge, but it's doing. And that is so true. As Christians, we don't lack knowledge about husbands and wives or to live with one another and treat one another. The problem is not doing what God has called us and equipped us to do. That's always the problem. Every time I do counseling, whether it's premarital or postmarital counseling, that's always the issue. Now, there are literally hundreds of books, hundreds of seminars, hundreds of articles written about how to do these things in marriage. So again, it's not a lack of knowledge, but a lack on our part to do it. And then we'll see we can't do it apart from the power of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. And that's true of anything we do as Christians. We can't do it in our own strength. We can try, but then ultimately we will fail. But I wish you would understand how important this is, because I hope you realize in the New Testament, you can read every verse about marriage in the New Testament in 10 minutes. You know, and we can have hours and hours and hours of seminars and thousands of pages of books, and yet the Bible sums it all up in about 10 minutes. That's because God made it simple. Basic, that anyone who's filled with the Holy Spirit can experience a beautiful, harmonious, loving relationship with their spouse. But again, it boils down to, are you willing to obey God's word? Are you willing to do what God says to do? Are you willing to be doers of the word and not hearers only? Now, what God's word says to us about how to have a successful marriage, it's summed up, and I always use this as my outline for marriage. It's Ephesians chapter 5. There's two verses in Ephesians 5. The first one is Ephesians 5:22, and again, we'll get the men saying amen to this one. This is where Paul writes, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord." That's part one for the wife, part two for the husband. Ephesians 5:25, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." That's it. Two simple things for a glorious, harmonious marriage relationship. And actually, each spouse is only responsible for one of those two things. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wife just as, even as Christ loves you. Sounds simple, doesn't it? It's a lot harder than it sounds. It would be that simple if it were not for the fact that we're still dwelling in these easily corrupted, selfishly wicked bodies of flesh that give in so quickly to our old sin nature. And the old saying is true. We have a new nature. We have the old nature. We have the spirit man. We have the flesh man. And it's the old saying that you have two dogs. Whichever dog you feed the most and the healthiest will become the strongest. If you neglect to feed one or the other, it becomes weaker. And so when it comes to a marriage in our own hearts, if we're feeding our flesh more than our spirit, guess what's going to dominate in your marriage? Your flesh. If you're feeding your spirit more than your flesh, then your spirit will take charge and you will have victory in these areas. So let's look at verse 1 again and see what Peter has for us, specifically for you ladies out there. First of all, Peter says, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands." Let's look at this word submission. What does it mean? What does it not mean? Why is this important? And who is supposed to submit to who? First of all, the word "likewise" refers us back to the previous 15 verses that I mentioned earlier. Submission to governing authorities, to one another, ultimately to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all in submission to someone. It's like the old Bob Dylan song. You got to serve somebody. It might be the devil or it might be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. That's so true. That is what we need to do. Understand, we're serving the Lord or we're serving our flesh. What does the word submit mean? Well, it means literally to subdue, to obey, or to make subject to one another. In fact, in that classic passage of husband-wife relationships in Ephesians 5, Paul begins that section by saying in Ephesians 5, verse 18, if you don't know this, I encourage you to write it down and circle it, memorize it, underline it, highlight it, get the point. Ephesians 5, 18, this is the key. "Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." That's what precedes the husband-wife relationship section in Ephesians 5. In other words, marital problems will never be solved by taking up the bottle. Man, I can't handle this anymore. So people start drinking. They start doing drugs. They start running around. They start doing all these things that are contrary to the Lord. But the problems will only be solved as husbands and wives, first of all, submit to themselves to the Holy Spirit, the authority of the Holy Spirit. Paul says in Ephesians 5:21, "Submitting therefore one to another." And so we're all in submission one to another under the Lord first and foremost. We submit our lives to God. He then empowers us to subdue our own fleshly desires and be willing to give ourselves over to our spouse. But again, this is only achieved by the Holy Spirit subduing our old sinful nature. And so in that context, we all need to submit to the Lord. Romans 8, verse 13, it says it best. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. And it's literally and spiritually. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And so it's that unwillingness to subdue our own sinful nature that drives couples apart. But unselfishness, a willingness to work together, that's what keeps us together. That's what draws couples together. It's being other-centered and not self-centered. Biblical submission, it's defined in many different ways, but it's a two-way street between a husband and a wife. Both spouses are to be submitted to the Lord first and foremost, and then they're to be submitted to each other by denying their own fleshly natures. And then out of that submission comes the roles and responsibilities that each one of us has as a husband and wife. Wives, submit to your own husbands, that's the Lord. Husbands, love your wife even as Christ loves the church, even as he loves you and gave himself for her. Again, these are the two key roles and responsibilities that God has given husbands and wives in order for marriages to be healthy and strong, in order for marriages to be blessed and enjoyable, in order for our marriages to reflect the eternal relationship between God the Father and God the Son, and Jesus as our head, and how we are to treat our spouse. Needless to say, these two roles and responsibilities are keys to a successful marriage. And I define successful marriage as one in which there is spiritual growth, spiritual maturity, as you are growing together in relationship with the Lord. You're spending time in prayer, reading the Word together. You're growing in Jesus. If that's not happening, then you're not going to have a successful marriage. Then there's emotional growth. That's growing in your love, in your respect, honoring one another, appreciating one another, being sensitive to one another. And then there's the physical growth as you encourage each other, you build each other up. There's the physical caressing and loving each other, taking care of each other's needs physically. And so as far as the role of the wife being in submission to her husband, let me ask a few questions. First of all, wives, why must you do this? Number one is it's God's word. It's not my opinion. This is what God's word clearly tells us. If you want to write them down, we just looked at it. 1 Peter 3:1, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. They all say the same thing. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord, as is proper in the Lord. It's God's word. This is God's design for a healthy, strong marriage. Another reason is because God has placed the husband as the head of the family. Now, some of you wives may be thinking, yeah, he's the head, all right. He's a blockhead, you know, or he's a knucklehead. That's how I look at myself sometimes. But the Bible says the husband is the head. And when it uses that word for us, it's used metaphorically to describe the husband's position of authority in regards to his wife and family. In like manner, God the Father is the head over Jesus Christ. That's important to understand. Jesus is the head over his body, the church, you and me. And so there's order in these things. Why is this basic truth so vitally important? Because genuine, loving, willful submission brings order out of chaos. And I've taught this here in the recent weeks that if you don't have order in any society, if you have anarchy in our society or in marriages where everybody's doing what's right in their own eyes, that's anarchy, then you're going to have chaos and it's not going to be pleasing to the Lord. It has to be, okay, Lord, what do you say? I want to do what you call me to do. And that is so important. The body of Christ only functions properly when Jesus Christ is the head of the body. If you have more than one head over any body, if you have a two-headed body, then, you know, Ringling Brothers, they just went out of business. They'll show up and they'll take you in. You know, if you have two heads on a body, Ripley's Believe It or Not will think that's pretty cool and you'll get in a book. You can't have two heads on a body. It's not a good thing. Another reason why this truth is so important is because submission gives us clear, definable responsibilities. The husband knows what his role is, and the wife knows what her role is. And in turn, when we're doing what God has called us to do, it frees us up to avoid getting into power struggles where we're trying to wrestle each other for their role and responsibility. When we just say, okay, this is your role and responsibility, and this is mine, it frees us up to do what God has called us to do. In other words, if both the husband and the wife are submitting to the Lord and are submitting to each other, serving one another, there will be such peace and harmony in the home that the whole issue of who's in control won't even come up. Elizabeth and I don't talk about who's in control here. I mean, that's not even an issue because we understand our roles and responsibilities. Now, when women hear the word submission, it conjures up all kinds of images that are not right, like abuse, because people use this, and I've talked to Christians, they'll use these verses and say, woman, you need to submit to me no matter what. And it can turn into abuse. It can turn into manipulation. And that's not what God is saying at all. So let me tell you what submission does not mean. It does not mean that a wife has now become a slave who can never open her mouth, who can never give her opinion, who can never give counsel or advice. God's word is clear that is not the case. And he even uses Sarah in this section of scripture to talk about this. In Genesis chapter 21, you can write it down, verses 8 through 12, we read of Sarah strongly urging her husband Abraham to put away Hagar and Ishmael, who is the son of his flesh. And Abraham was not happy about what his wife is telling him, and he's wanting to argue about it, and he's getting ready to say, no, I'm not going to put them away until God says, Abraham, listen to your wife. This is when you need to listen to your wife. Unfortunately, he listened to her the first time when she says, yeah, go into my handmaid Hagar and have a son by her. And here's Abraham. Oh, okay. I mean, what a dope he was. And now God's straightening things out, and he doesn't want to do this. So God says, no, listen to the voice of Sarah. For in Isaac, God says, the son of promise, your seed, shall be called. So obviously Sarah's opinion mattered. When you look at the couple mentioned many times in the New Testament, Priscilla and Aquila, Priscilla's the wife and Aquila's the husband. And most of the time it's put in that order, which was very unusual in that culture to have the wife mentioned first, Priscilla and Aquila. Sometimes it's Aquila and Priscilla, but most of the time it's Priscilla and Aquila. They both ministered together. They both took Apollos aside, and it says they explained to him the way of God more accurately. That's in Acts chapter 18, verse 26. And so far from being a slave, godly wives are certainly our better half. They have tremendous wisdom, tremendous insights, and I encourage all of you husbands to listen to your wife. Another thing submission does not mean is that a wife is inferior to her husband. And that's another thing that gets twisted around by some men. They try to say, hey, I'm the head, so that means you're inferior. No, God's the head over Jesus, but they're co-equal, co-eternal, co-creator of the heavens and the earth. Jesus isn't inferior to the Father. They just have simply they have different roles and responsibilities. It's that simple. The Bible is crystal clear that a woman is on equal standing with a man before God. Galatians 3:28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And so again, this thing has nothing to do with being inferior or superior. We're all equal before the foot of the cross. And so never forget that about the Father and the Son. Jesus willingly put himself into submission to the Father, even though they are co-equal, co-eternal. And yet they have different roles. Same with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit points people to Jesus. Jesus points people to the Father. They have different roles and responsibilities, but they're all equal. They're God. And so don't forget that important principle. Just as there are different gifts and talents within the body of Christ, within a Christian marriage, there are different gifts and talents. There's different roles and responsibilities. And when we understand these things, then we can let go. And there is that freedom. I mean, Elizabeth's got a lot sharper mind on certain things than I do. And so I'm like, yeah, you do that, and I'll let you. And I don't want to do it, so praise the Lord, you can. You're a lot smarter than I am in those things. Then there's other areas where she's like, no, that's your role. And it's like, yeah, that's my role, and that's great. And it works together. We're one. The two become one flesh. And so it's not a power struggle. It's being complementary with each other's gifts and talents. Now, there are limitations to submission. When Paul says in Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit to your own husbands, here's the key. He says, as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. Very important. In other words, you're submitting to Jesus. So what would Jesus have you do? Think about that. He would obviously not try and get you to sin. So if a husband tries to get any of you wives to do something that's contrary to God's word, she has all the authority, as John and Peter, when they stood before the authorities in their day, and say, we ought to obey God rather than men. If the extreme would be if a husband, says, hey, honey, go rob the bank so I can stay home and not work and drink beer and watch TV. She would say, no, I'm not going to do that. She doesn't submit to that. That's wrong. You don't have to submit to that kind of authority. That's not godly authority. That's trying to manipulate. That's trying to coerce. I always recommend if you have a husband like that and he tells you to do something that's sinful or immoral, take a few steps away from him, because you never know when God might send some lightning down. I don't know. Just be careful. Another thing, wives are not to be expected to be in submission to an abusive husband either. If a husband is using his beautiful bride as a punching bag, that needs to stop immediately. It's not only illegal in the laws of the land, it's also wrong in God's eyes because, and I've told you this before, that wife of yours is first and foremost God's daughter. And as God's daughter, he is very jealous of his children. So you better be very careful how you treat God's children. Yes, she might be your wife, but she belongs to God first and foremost. Be careful how you treat your wife. That's why we're to love and encourage and build each other up. All you need to do, wives, is ask yourself, if Jesus were asking me to do this, would I submit to him? And that's a hard thing. Because a lot of wives are like, let me think about that. Shows where your heart is. And husbands, if you're filled with the Spirit and you're loving your wife like Jesus loves you, submission won't even be in your vocabulary. Because when a wife is being loved and she's being built up and adored and encouraged by her husband, she'll naturally want to be in submission. It's not even a topic. They'll be just like, yes, I love you and I want to serve and I want to serve the Lord. That's just the way God designed us. And each of us need to do our part because it's what God has called us to do. And so often when I'm dealing with couples that are struggling, it's always the same thing. Well, I'll submit to him once he starts loving me like Christ loves the church. I'm like, no, you have a role. Just do your role. Well, I'll start loving her once she starts submitting to me. No, you just need to love her. You need to go to the Lord and get the love you need in your heart for her. And it doesn't matter how she responds. You just need to do your part, and then God will take care of it in the long run. Before we move on, let me give you a couple of examples of what submission does mean. First of all, submission is an attitude of love. It's respect. It's gentleness. It's a result of the Holy Spirit producing his fruit within your life, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. when Paul says to the wives in Ephesians 5:33, and let the wife see that she respects her husband, that's only possible by the power of the Holy Spirit working upon your life. Respect him? How can I respect him? I mean, he's sitting there in his recliner, chirping and burping and picking his nose. How can I respect him? That's what I do. That's, what are you doing? Don't do that. Sorry. I mean, that's why she needs to go to the Lord constantly. So you're welcome. I never said it was going to be easy. In fact, apart from Christ, it's impossible. But ladies, through Christ, you can do all things. Secondly, submission means you willingly accept God's design for the husband-wife relationship so there can be peace and order instead of chaos. 1 Peter 3:1. Spending a lot of time on this. But it goes on to say that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. In other words, fear of the Lord, not fear of the husband. Now, obviously, that takes an overflow of the Holy Spirit. We're talking rivers of living water that you women, you wives need. How can I win my husband to the Lord without saying a word? That's impossible. Well, what's possible, impossible for you is possible with the Lord. Always remember that. So you're saying, Pastor Jeff, that all my preaching and nagging and little notes I put in his lunchbox that says repent or burn in hell aren't doing any good? No, probably not. Sometimes a husband gets to a point where he thinks that might be preferable right now. That's not good. But when Peter is saying here that wives are wives-to-be, what he's saying is that your godly character, your gentle spirit, your overflowing agape love, your spirit-filled actions, those things will speak much louder than words. It's just the way it is. Actions do speak louder than words, and that's for all of us. I mean, we try to witness to friends, and so often they just don't hear us anymore. And so often they get a mixed message because they see us or hear us saying one thing and doing something else. And so it sends a mixed message. They need to see the gospel at work in our lives. They need to see us living out our Christian faith. That's true for all of us. People in the world not only need to hear about Jesus, they also need to see Jesus in our actions, in our behavior. This is Peter's way of saying, don't just talk the talk, walk the walk, ladies. And husbands, don't just nag. Don't just talk about it. Let your actions speak louder than words because, as you know, the greatest examples, the greatest witnesses that we can be is when we're speaking the truth in love and when we're letting our light so shine before men that they can see our good works and give glory to our Father in heaven. I guarantee a loving, gentle, spirit-filled wife is extremely attractive to her husband. Peter expounds on this. Look at verse 3. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. I've said this for many years now. When my wife Elizabeth is prayed up and filled up with the Holy Spirit, there's no one more beautiful and attractive to me than my wife. She's the only one. There's no one in the whole world that measures up to her. Her countenance radiates. And when she's prayed up and filled up, it doesn't matter so much that she's married to a knucklehead like me. Again, she knows. She has to go to the Lord on a daily basis and pray, Jesus, I need wisdom. I need strength. I need love. You put us together, God. So put it on the Lord. If you're having issues. She'll be praying, God, give me strength. You're the one that did this. If you look at it that way, even if you wives are married to a knucklehead like me, then you can be thankful because God is using us husbands to drive you wives into a closer relationship with Jesus. So again, you're welcome. Now, the only reason that our marriage, to me, has not only survived, but in my opinion, has thrived for over 38 years now. I can't believe you're that old, Elizabeth. That's amazing. The only reason is because we've both submitted our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We both believe the Word of God is the Word of God, and we not only believe it, but we hold fast to it. You know, we seek the Lord daily. Even though our flesh struggles against it at times, we all know that we have to come back to the Lord. We know that it's only possible to live it out on a day-to-day basis as we deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow Jesus. That's what every Christian should do, whether you're married or single. You got to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, then you can be the Christian husband, the Christian man, the Christian worker, the Christian wife that God wants you to be as you walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Because a good marriage is, kind of quoting Zechariah 4:6, it's not by might nor by power, by your own strength, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And all of you wives who have tried everything in your own power to change your husband, know that this is true. The Holy Spirit makes a much better Holy Spirit than you do. The Holy Spirit does a much better job in making us husbands the kind of husbands that we know you wives need and deserve. And so wives, give your husband the freedom to be the head of the house. Because many times when the husband realizes his roles and his responsibilities as the head of the house and what an awesome responsibility that is, and he's going to stand before God and have to give an account for how he treated his wife, that's going to cause him to say, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I can't do this in my own strength. And we just know that God is the one that is trusting a knucklehead like me to do this. And so I got to go to God all the time and say, I need your wisdom. I need your understanding. I need your love. Not because Elizabeth's hard to love. That's not my point. Got to clear that up now before I get home. But we need to go to the Lord constantly. And wives, that's the best place your husband could be, on his knees crying out to God for mercy. That is truly the power of what verse 4 says, the gentle, quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Again, not nagging, praying does so much more. It's a spiritual battle, if there is a battle. It's a spiritual one. So he says here, wives, do not let your adornment be merely outward. Adorn yourselves in the inside, he says. First and foremost, let the hidden person of the heart, the incorruptible beauty of your spirit and soul, you know, that's what needs to shine forth. That's what needs to reflect and radiate from the grace of God, and the love of Jesus, and the joy and peace of the Holy Spirit. Again, nothing is more beautiful in the eyes of the Lord, and I would say in her husband's eyes, than a woman who is walking in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the newness of life that Jesus Christ has provided for you. That's irresistible. So don't just focus on the outward appearance. Make sure you spend plenty of time with Jesus in the Word, in prayer. That's how the real you, the new creation in Christ you, is made beautiful. Not just now, but for eternity. That's enough. Let's pray. Next week, we'll talk about husbands a little bit more. And then we'll quickly move on to the next subject. No. Father, we do love you, and we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. It is living. It is powerful. It does impact us if we allow your Holy Spirit to plant the seed of your word into our hearts and minds. And Lord, we can argue with your word, we can debate it for years to come, but Lord, until we just humble ourselves and say, change me, Lord, change my heart, change my mind, help me to be the husband, be the wife, be the Christian that you want me to be, then until that time, Lord, we're just going to keep beating our heads against a wall. So Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would continually fill us up. Renew us, refresh us. Use us, Lord, as vessels of honor for your glory in our homes, out in the world, in our workplace, wherever we go, whoever we see, May they see, may they not only hear about Jesus, but may they see Jesus at work in us and through us. That is so important, Lord. So we just want to commit our ways to you now and ask that you would be blessed and glorified in all that we do. And Lord, we love you and we thank you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's stand together. And hey, does somebody want to come up here and lead us in worship? I finished 5 minutes early. Bethany's going to come up and lead us in worship. No, she's not. Like, no, I'm going to go get Aaron. So let's stand up. Stretch your legs. We could do some of the songs we did for VBS. Man, that was amazing. If you guys haven't been over to the Children's Sanctuary and seen what, you know, Kaya and Aaron and all the others did over there, I mean, it was truly a blessing. Hi. And, I mean, they just went above and beyond, and it's just amazing what the Lord has done. And the kids had a great time, and many of us are very tired, and the weekend wasn't enough to recuperate yet, but we hope you guys have a blessed 4th of July, and it's Independence Day, but for us as believers, every day is Freedom Day in Jesus.